It was rabid. The bobcat on the video, rabid bobcat. The man's name with the gun was Happy. And he, quote, shot that effer. Hey, welcome. It's Eric Erickson. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, at the end of the last hour, there's this video circulating of this woman. She's got her cat in a cat carrier. Her husband's carrying a cake. And a bobcat comes up and attacks the woman, starts climbing up her back. Her husband wrestles the bobcat off of her, gets into a fist fight with the bobcat, throws it, whips his gun out, and shoots it. Well, it runs, and he chases after it and shoots it. Turns out it was rabid bobcat. Amazing video. I just retweeted it on Twitter at EW Erickson. It's impressive. But so if you're listening in Texas, the Texas House just passed constitutional carry, meaning carry a gun without a concealed carry permit. And this is another example of why everyone should be able to carry. When the rabid bobcat attacks, you want to be like Happy and have your Glock at the ready to kill the bobcat. Every state should have constitutional carry. Georgia was considering it and then yanked it at the last minute after the spa shooting. 20 states have it. I don't know if the Texas Senate will pass it or not. Hopefully they will. Every state should have constitutional carry. All right. So I was going to get into this Josh Rogan, not Joe Rogan, Josh Rogan story. He was interviewed by Megyn Kelly. He has it a book. Josh Rogan is not a nobody. Josh Rogan is a respected columnist at the Washington Post. And to get there, I think I'm going to start with a phone call. I'm going to go to Mitchell first. Mitchell, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. You there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Eric. I'm here.
Yeah, sure. All right. So what's going on?
So my question was, in the coverage of, and I haven't heard much of it lately, but when they're trying to find out the origins of COVID-19, why do we never hear the news media mention that before COVID-19 was a thing, the democracy was something that the Chinese people were demanding, the riots they were having in the streets, the protests they were having in the streets, and there was nothing that government could do to quell those folks from fighting for democracy. And then this virus comes out that forces everyone to stay at home. And we hear about bats and we hear about labs and we hear about this and that. Is there, I mean, maybe I sound like a conspiracist, but I mean.
Well, you sound like a conspiracist, but sometimes the conspiracies are true.
So is there any, like, have you, or I haven't heard anyone mention this, but it's something that I thought about from the moment coronavirus started. My first thought in my head was last year was the Chinese government has figured out how to shut these people down because it was the only thing that shut it down. And you haven't heard one word of those protests since coming out.
Well, not only have you not heard one word, but while everybody was under lockdown, the Chinese changed the law in Hong Kong and now can arrest them and shut them up. Right. I wouldn't put anything past the Chinese. I really wouldn't. No one has tied that connection together, I think, in the media. Now, there's been speculation. No one in the media has any evidence of it. What they have a growing body of evidence of, though, Mitchell, is that it was a release from this lab in Wuhan, China. So gain-of-function research. Let's talk about gain-of-function research. Gain-of-function is a study that it's not just virologists, but a lot of virologists do. And it is the study of making a pathogen stronger. It can be dangerous research. You want to find out how do you amp up the role of a pathogen? How do you advance a pathogen? How do you give it some gain of function? You know who the world's leading authority on gain of function research is, according to Josh Rogan, respected Washington Post columnist, guy you might have heard of named Anthony Fauci. Well, Fauci controls funding for the NIH and the NIAID, and a lot of people are worried about gain of function and they're worried about speaking out because they're worried about Dr. Fauci. This is from Mediaite. Gain of function research focuses on artificially enhancing the transmissibility of pathogens. In the 5 years prior to the coronavirus pandemic, that research was spearheaded in China by the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which Dr. Fauci has headed since 1984, oversees funding for most of the related research in America. The agency falls under the National Institutes of Health, Rogan referenced. The head of funding, the head of the entire field, is Anthony Fauci, Rogan said. He's the godfather of gain-of-function research as we know it. That, what I said right there, is too hot for TV because people who don't want to think about the fact that our hero of the pandemic might have also been connected to the research that could cause problems. The problem is not that they were doing something wrong or illegal. The problem is that nobody knows what this legal stuff was that was going on. And now, all of a sudden, we have to look at it. There's a growing body of research and data and evidence that China was... Now, listen, there's nothing wrong or sinister about gain-of-function research. Oftentimes, what you can do with these microbes is you can research gain-of-function and you can study how mutations come about, and you can preempt mutations. You can design medicines to stop them. You actually get a great wealth of information by studying gain of function. The problem appears, as Rogan says, that it's very well likely the Chinese were way more aggressive in their research than Fauci or anyone else knew. Fauci was helping fund this sort of stuff. And it appears that the Chinese were way more aggressive than anyone, including Fauci, knew, and yet they were getting money to do this research, which is one reason that the World Health Organization has collaborated with China to cover this stuff up. It is more and more likely that China was researching this stuff and there was an accidental release. Now, remember, when Tom Cotton said this, this is very much like the Russian story. The media is now walking back the story of the Russian bounty, saying all the stuff they ran with last year to defame Donald Trump, turns out wasn't true, not a lot of evidence for it. This is very much the same way with the Wuhan lab situation. Last year, Tom Cotton, U.S. Senator from Arkansas, suggested that there could have been a release from the lab, and the media immediately attacked Tom Cotton. He was racist. He was a bigot. How dare he say these sorts of things? And it turns out there was a World Health Organization cover-up with the Chinese. It turns out, more likely than not, there was an accidental release. Tom Cotton never said it was intentional. Tom Cotton never said it was a plan. Tom Cotton never said it was a strategy. He said it could have been released from. The media pounced. They said he was blaming the Chinese for willfully poisoning their own people. You couldn't put it past a country that runs concentration camps to do that, though. Maybe it was to silence the protest in Hong Kong. But it was more likely than not an accidental release. They were playing with fire, and they made a mistake, and the whole world now has a pandemic because of what the Chinese did. And then they worked with the World Health Organization to cover it up. This is Josh Rogan again talking to Megyn Kelly. The Wuhan Institute of Virology had openly participated in gain-of-function research in partnership with U.S. universities and institutions. But an official told me the U.S. government had evidence the Chinese labs were performing gain-of-function research on a much larger scale than was disclosed, meaning they were taking more risks in more labs than anyone outside China was aware of. This insight, in turn, fed into a lab accident hypothesis in a new and troubling way. Dr. Fauci, the hero of the pandemic, might also have had a role in the research that may have caused the pandemic. People can't get it through their heads, but that's the reality. We don't have a media environment where we can have this kind of discussion. He's right, we don't. Fauci is the patron saint. Now, I will tell you, I have tended over the last year to give Fauci some level of the benefit of the doubt at the beginning because there was so much about the virus we don't know. But at this point, we know enough about the virus that we should be able to live our lives and make a risk assessment ourselves. And Fauci still does not wish to do that. He still wishes to tell you how to live your life. And Fauci is now, interestingly enough, having to call out the Biden administration over its COVID guidance and what it's doing at the border.
Dr. Fauci, does this look like social distancing to you that you require when you talk about 6 feet?
No.
So in these cells, as you just said, they're violating the very guidance that you tell Americans to follow. A restaurant in the United States would be shut down today if they were being run like this. Yet the federal government, the Biden administration, is running this facility. You can see all of these young children who are next to each other, 6 inches apart, many without masks, by the way. Does that follow your guidance that you've issued?
No.
Well, then why would the Biden administration not go and stop this? I think one of the reasons is because President Biden and Vice President Harris won't even go see this for themselves. That's why I keep urging strongly that they go to the border. I'd love for y'all to go to the border to see this so you can at least give recommendations. They're violating every guidance that Americans are required to follow.
They're not following Fauci's guidance. If the Biden administration isn't following his guidance, why should we follow Fauci's guidance? And at some point, you know, Fauci also said yesterday that it wasn't a liberty assessment for him. It's a liberty assessment for a whole lot of people, particularly people who are losing their livelihoods. We've got the vaccine. Now, I've got to say that I am pro-vaccine. I think it's a miracle of modern science. I think you should go get it. And I think the administration has botched the handling of that. They should tell people, go get your vaccine and go live your life. But they're not doing that either. And Fauci's part of all that. And part of this here, listen, Fauci, and you gotta hear me here because I think we've got to be able to nuance here. Dr. Fauci is not a bad person. And I know some of you are angry at him and you blame him. And so you think he's a bad person, but just listen to me for just one moment, please. He is not a bad person. But Dr. Fauci has a narrow field in which he exercises all control. And his field is public health, immunology, and viruses and allergies. And he is a global expert. The problem is that the administration, this particular administration now, to an extent the Trump administration did for a time and then realized what was happening, they allowed a man whose expertise is viruses to control the lives of 350 million people. You can't do that because he doesn't see the forest for the trees. It's not that Dr. Fauci is a bad man. It's that the government was bad for letting him have all say, as opposed to balancing him and his concerns and desires with those involved in economics, those involved in small business, those involved in other aspects of our lives. When you put a guy in charge whose expertise is limited to one area, guess what? All of his advice is going to be about that, with no care in the world about all the other concerns. So he's not a bad guy, but the way he handled it and the presumptive arrogance of we've got to focus on this one thing at the expense of all the other things is bad. And the fact that the media will not let us point out the research that was going on in Wuhan, and in fact that Dr. Fauci played a role in funding it, that's another bad thing. Listen, the research in and of itself is not bad. There's actually a lot of good that can come from that gain-of-function research. But why can't we be told about it? It raises more questions and concerns. The media is so interested in protecting us from ourselves that it actually undermines our ability to protect ourselves. It puts in charge guys like Fauci, the supposed technocrats. And by the way, no government should be run by the technocrats. Every government that decides to be run by the technocrats is a government that ultimately is undone by the people who lose trust in the technocrats because the technocrats don't take risks. The technocrats are afraid to take risks, and the technocrats live with blinders on that where they only see their technocratic expertise. We're a republic with democratic bodies and functions. The people ultimately are supposed to be in charge, but it is the people, not all of us, certainly not you and me, but enough people decided to abdicate their governance of the country to a bunch of bureaucrats. And that needs to be undone. That should be the campaign issue of our lifetime. But even a lot of Republicans aren't picking up on it. Hi there. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I want to tell you about my friends at Eden Pure. They make air purifiers. They make heaters. They make a lot of great stuff for your home, but really the air purifier, the Thunderstorm, is amazing. You hold it in your hand and it works. It works so well. My son uses it in his room. He swiped mine. I had to get a second one. We used the other one the other night, for example. We fried fish in the house, and we used it to get rid of the odors in the kitchen. He uses his in his room to purify the air because he's got bad allergies, and it takes care of pollen. It takes care of mold. It takes care of bacteria in the air. They're small enough. You put it in a room, and it's good to go. You can put it in your car. It's portable. You can run it off a USB charger. It works great. Really works great. And you can get one $10 off their lowest sales price. You go to EdenPureDeals.com. Eden, like the Garden of Eden. EdenPureDeals.com. You'll get $10 off the lowest sale price when you use the code word ERIC at checkout. E-R-I-C-K. Odor is a big thing for a lot of people in their houses, particularly when in the kitchen, when you're cooking up a lot of stuff. Like, I like to make curry in the house. We don't actually have a vent system in the kitchen anymore. And, of course, my wife and kids, I grew up overseas. I love these smells. And they're like, ugh. Well, the Eden Pure can get rid of those smells in the kitchen. When you're cooking stuff the family doesn't want to smell, it's great. When you got something smelly and that you got mildewy stuff in the house, the Eden Pure works great. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. You'll get $10 off the lowest sales price. Use the code word ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, at checkout. It is a great product. We are so delighted to have a couple of these in our house now. EdenPureDeals.com. My buddy Chip Roy is a congressman from Texas, and he is introducing a piece of legislation to declare the cartels in Mexico terrorist organizations. And they are, but neither the last administration nor this one took the aggressive step of pushing legislation through Congress to formally declare them terrorist organizations. They need to. Chip Roy, his district stretches from Austin, Texas, down to San Antonio. He's one of my best friends. I've known him for years. He's been on this program a number of times. He is just a hardcore, rock-solid conservative, and he is committed to this issue that the cartels need to be declared terrorist organizations, and the government, if you declare them terrorist organizations, has extra tools under the law to be able to take care of them. The cartels, I don't know that people realize that Mexico is becoming a failing state, and I don't say that lightly, and I don't mean it pejoratively. Mexico, though, is crumbling. The cartels and the government, there are local communities in Mexico now that have had to take law enforcement in their own hands because they know the government won't help them. The cartels control parts of the country. Bad things can happen to you if you're an American tourist, depending on where you go. People get kidnapped and butchered all the time by the cartels. The cartels are funneling people across the border for money. The Biden administration has plans to pay people to not come here. That's just going to make the cartels richer. The cartels are having to diversify as marijuana is legalized in this country. It impacts their sales. They were the largest importers of marijuana into the United States. Now that you can legally grow it in parts of this country and sell it, it's impacted their sales. So they've diversified into other forms of crime and terror, and they might as well be treated as a terrorist organization. Good for Chip Roy for doing this. I think what we need is a greater appreciation for the fact that Mexico and a good number of countries in Central America are collapsing. And it's the reality. But the wokes don't want you to point it out. They claim you're a racist when you point it out. But countries can crumble. And Mexico right now is crumbling. It is causing destabilization at our border. But these other countries have problems as well, which is further in the problem. It's not a good situation in Mexico, and we need to deal with it. Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Glad to have you with me. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Y'all, we got to talk about the communists. the Marxists, the Black Lives Matter crowd, because they matter, unfortunately. Yes, they do. They matter. Have you heard about, well, I'm sure you have, because I talked about it. What's her name? The Patrice Culler. She bought the $1 million mansion in Los Angeles in Topanga County. She went on a Mark Lamont Hill show. Listen to this. Listen, this is her justification for buying her $1 million. And it's not just one property. She and her wife bought multiple properties.
Also a critique, though, from the left that would say, if you are a...
Hang on.
Marxist, if we're talking about a certain kind of radical politic, that extravagant homes of any sort or multiple properties of any sort is itself contradictory to the ideology that you hold. And so it's not about having money per se, but that it's about or about property per se, but it's about there being a potential contradiction between your expressed politics and your lived practice.
By the way, notice that, well, you can't notice because you can't see, but I can, this video. They're showing a home sale price of $590,000. It was a $1.4 million home she bought, not $590,000.
Sure. And I think that is a critique that is wanting. And I say that because the way that I live my life is in direct support to Black people, including my Black family members, first and foremost. And for so many Black folks who are able to invest in themselves and their community, they choose to invest in their family. And that's what I've chosen to do. I have a child, I have a brother that has severe mental illness that I take care of. I support my mother, and I support many other family members of mine. And so I see my money as not my own. I see it as my family's.
Well, everybody else in America sees their money the same way. It's for me to take care of my own. She doesn't want you to have it, though. She wants it. The way that I live my life is a direct support to Black people, including my Black family members, first and foremost. And for so many Black folks who are able to invest in themselves, their community, they choose to invest in their family. And that's what I've chosen to do. Except she wants the government to tell you how much money you can make. I mean, that's Marxism. Marxism is take from those who have and give to those who have not. And she's saying, hey, I do this. You know, a lot of times, let's take the critique of the early church. So my daughter was laughing the other day in her Bible class in school. The teacher was describing the early church, and my kid said, so they were communists. They shared everything. They shared their homes. They shared their meals. They shared their money. They shared everything. The difference, and you know, a lot of people say, well, look, they were socialists. They were Marxists. They were communists. They did all this communal sharing. It's what the communists want. The difference is the early church did it voluntarily. It was their choice. The state didn't make them. And the Marxists want the state to make everybody do that sort of stuff. It's one thing if it's your choice. Like, I have no objection to Patrice Cullors using her money to buy a multi-million-dollar house and spreading the wealth around herself. But she doesn't want me to be able to do the same. She wants the government to control my life and tell me how much I can make and where it can be distributed. And big businesses are bad, but small businesses have to drive up costs to be able to afford unionization and the like. There's a lot of hypocrisy here by this woman. And she can't see it. The rest of us can't see. This is why I think that the response to the wokes has got to be to show off their hypocrisy and laugh at them. Show off their hypocrisy and laugh at them. And she, the left, they've got no sense of humor on this stuff. They got no sense of humor. And we should call them out on it. We should laugh at them. We should point out the hypocrisy. And we should point out when she defends herself and says, well, I'm taking care of my family with my money. We should point out that that's what all the rest of us want to do. And she doesn't want us to do it. It's also coming in the climate change battle as the Democrats want to impose their Marxist Green New Deal on the rest of the country and now declare a climate emergency. Richard Lindzen and William Happer have this piece over at National Review. By obligating the United States once more to the Paris Agreement, and by signaling very clearly that climate will be central to its policies, the Biden administration has joined other governments in the crusade against a supposed climate emergency. We use the word crusade advisedly, since the frenzy over climate resembles the medieval crusades against foreign infidel and homegrown heretics. There's even a children's climate crusade. Medieval crusades, which chant Deus Vult or God Wants It, the ultimate virtue signaling slogan. Few leaders of medieval Europe could resist the temptation to join the crusades. The medieval elite could count on earthly reward to add to their heavenly treasure. The enemies of God paid the bills. Some climate crusaders have invoked the mandate of heaven, and others use language all too reminiscent of millenarianism. But most claim to be following a mandate of science. It's the science telling us to do it. We are both scientists who can attest that the research literature does not support the claim of a climate emergency, nor will there be one. None of the lurid predictions, dangerously accelerating sea level rise, increasingly extreme weather, more deadly forest fires, unprecedented warming, are any more accurate than the fire and brimstone sermons used to stoke fanaticism in medieval crusades. True believers assert that this emergency could be averted only by eliminating greenhouse gas emissions. Greenhouse gas include water vapor, methane, nitrous oxide, and carbon dioxide, a gas released when fossil fuels are burned to power transportation, generate electricity, and are used to manufacture amenities of modern life. So far, climate crusaders have refrained from minimizing water vapor and clouds, which make the largest contribution to greenhouse warming of the Earth. Carbon dioxide, demonized as carbon pollution, is an improbable villain. Green plants use the energy of sunlight to manufacture sugar and other organic molecules of life from carbon dioxide and water molecules. A byproduct of photosynthesis is the oxygen of our atmosphere. Each human exhales about 2 pounds of the pollutant carbon dioxide every day. No scientist familiar with radiation transfer denies that more carbon dioxide is likely to cause surface warming. But the warming would be small and benign. In fact, history shows that warming of a few degrees Celsius, which extended growing seasons, have been good for humanity. The golden age of classical Roman civilization occurred during a warm period. Cooling periods, which were accompanied by barbarian invasions, famines, and plague, have been bad. More carbon dioxide will certainly increase the productivity of agriculture and forestry. Over the past century, the Earth has already become noticeably greener as a result of the modest increase of CO2 from about 0.03% to 0.04% of atmospheric models. More CO2 has had a significant contribution to the increased crop yields of the past 50 years as well. No, it's not. Haven't you heard? It's Monsanto and the genetic manipulation. At least that's what the left says. It's by faith. On and on, this article goes, but the basic point is that there is no climate emergency. They conclude Americans should not be stampeded into a disastrous climate crusade. The medieval crusades did far more harm than good, destroying the lives of many decent people of all faiths and leaving a bitter legacy that complicates international relations and social harmony to this day. They're not wrong. The problem here is that the wokes wish to control your life by any means necessary. If they can get the Biden administration to declare a climate emergency and use the tools of the federal government, look at what they're doing right now. See, it's not a coincidence we're suddenly talking about a climate emergency the moment a global pandemic starts to wane. They got to find a new way to keep us controlled. Now, they already think they control you and me. They already do. That's why all this idea that they're seeding mythology about COVID and whatnot is a way to control. They already think they control us. And to a degree, they do. But what they don't typically control is the commercial flow of activity in the private sector in the United States. Through a pandemic emergency declaration, they sure have. Shutting down businesses, businesses they don't like, churches they don't like. In California, the weed dispensary gets to stay open and the church has to close because marijuana is essential and Jesus is not. So now they need a new emergency as the pandemic begins to fade to be able to control the private sector in ways they otherwise could not. Again, this isn't about you and me. It's all about capitalism. It's always, always been about capitalism. In the 1980s and the early 1990s, going back to the 70s, the Soviet Union funded communists in this country and around the world to agitate against the United States, write op-eds from think tanks that were funded by the Soviets, to agitate against American foreign policy, to demonize American politicians, to agitate against capitalism. And a lot of people forget that that happened. When the Soviet Union collapsed and we could go into the files of the KGB, we found there were mass payments to academics and personalities in this country and to organizations that were designed to undermine capitalism and undermine the United States. And then the Soviet Union collapsed and they had to go somewhere. They became environmentalists. The watermelons of society. They're green on the outside. They're still red on the inside. And what's remarkable is that the Soviet propaganda message of the 70s and 80s against the United States became the propaganda message of the environmentalists. Capitalism is bad. Industry is bad. We've got to regulate. We've got to stamp it out. We've got to punish. We've got to tax. We've got to burden. We've got to slow it down. I mean, my goodness, the Greta Thunbergs of the world and the like, that they've been openly talking about how good the pandemic has been for global healing. Because people have been locked in their homes. They haven't been burning their fossil fuels. The world is healing. The pandemic is Mother Nature's way of healing us. Well, guess what? We've almost beat it back. They got to come up with something else to control us. It's going to be an environmental climate change crisis and emergency. The oceans are rising. The forests are burning. We're all going to die unless we continue to stay home and small businesses continue to be closed, unless they want to unionize and then they can open. It's amazing how, whether it's the pandemic or global cooling from the 70s or global warming from the 80s and 90s and today, it's always the same solution. Capitalism bad, communism good. Capitalism bad, we need more socialism. We need a greater social safety net to save the world. And abortion. Got to have abortion in there because you know what people do. They emit pollution. They emit carbon. We've all got to go vegan. And we've all got to die to save the planet. We are the villain in the story. Mother Nature is pure as the driven snow. But it's not going to snow anymore. Mother Nature is dying because of us. The communists are just environmentalists now. And the Democratic politicians who in the 80s were enablers of the communists and apologists for the Soviet Union, Bernie freaking Sanders honeymooned in the Soviet Union. It's not a coincidence that today they're the biggest champions of climate emergency. They're the biggest champions of taking on the right. They're the biggest champions of imposing new burdens on all of us the same way they did in the 80s and 90s. That we needed detente with the Soviet Union. We needed to break bread with them. Kumbaya. We could learn from them. The bread lines. Remember, Bernie Sanders said the bread lines were proof no one in the Soviet Union starved. And now he's gone from defense of the Soviet Union to global warming. We got to do something about it. We got to rebuild not just our physical infrastructure, but our human infrastructure as well.
Everybody in America understands that our infrastructure, our roads and our bridges and our water systems and wastewater plants are falling apart. They need repair. They need to be rebuilt. And in the process, we create millions of good-paying jobs in doing that. I think every Democrat understands that. I suspect every Republican understands that. And on top of that, we can create millions more jobs by transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy and lead the world in fighting climate change. Furthermore, I happen to believe that when you talk about infrastructure, Wolf, you got to be talking about human infrastructure. You have millions of Americans today who cannot afford to send their kids to college, who cannot afford health care, who are working at starvation wages, who cannot afford childcare. We are the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. And we've got to rebuild not only our physical infrastructure, but our human infrastructure. And one way that I think we have got to go forward is we have got to strengthen and expand Medicare. Today, Medicare does not cover dental care, does not cover hearing aids, does not cover eyeglasses. And in my view, we have got to understand those are healthcare needs for seniors, and we've got to expand Medicare to do that. And the way we pay for that, Wolf, is by demanding that Medicare negotiate prescription drug prices with the pharmaceutical industry, who are ripping us off outrageously. We pay by far the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. Government can save $450 billion by negotiating drug prices for Medicare. And that's what we got to do. And with that money, we have to expand Medicare to cover dental, eyeglasses, and hearing.
It's all infrastructure. It's all infrastructure, folks. It's all designed to combat a human crisis, a global warming crisis, a climate change crisis. It's all infrastructure. Every left-wing ideal. The people who defended the Soviet Union now defend all this stuff too. Why? Because the Soviet Union collapsed and they didn't. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson. A word, if you will, and some of y'all are going to have to humor me here. I've been on this week at KTBB in Tyler, Texas. I've enjoyed talking to you guys. None of you have emailed, interacted on social media. You can always follow me at EW Erickson. Hopefully I will be back. But I have thoroughly enjoyed expanding outside my prior footprint as we move this show across the nation slowly but surely. It takes time. We've been building this by ourselves. I don't have a syndicator. I do this show by myself. I have yet to actually really earn income from it. All the ad revenue generated goes to cover the costs. And it's really been a labor of love. I want to do more radio than my local show in Atlanta. And I'm hoping we'll be able to, at some point, just have one big show nationwide. Because, holy moly, I'm exhausted from doing six nonstop hours of radio. The moment that this microphone goes quiet for you, it transfers via magic almost by computer to another control room and then goes live for a second show that I do for another 3 hours. I'm getting a little worn out, and I've been doing it now for only about 3 weeks. I love it, though. All of my energy, unfortunately, the problem is all of my energy goes into this, and then the moment 3 o'clock hits, I'm just dead to the world, and it's a disservice to my family and my wife and kids to do it, but I gotta say, I took my wife out to dinner last night. There's a little pizza place near us. It's called Ingleside Pizza. And for a year, it has been delivery only. You could go curbside and pick up food and go home. This place has been it's been open since before I was in college. It's the first place. It was the very first place in Georgia I ever engaged in underage drinking, to be honest with you. It's been there ever since. There should be a plaque out front, but we've been getting it to go a lot to support the business, but it's just not the same as when it's fresh out of the oven. It's a very unique pizza, and their breadsticks are marvelous. But I went with my wife. No kids. Our kids have finally gotten to the point we could keep them home. They did not kill each other. No one killed them. It was great. It was the first time I've been out of the house to dinner with my wife in more than a year. She hasn't been able to get out of the house because of her cancer, but now we've both been vaccinated. The pandemic is receding. The restaurant made you wear a mask when you came inside, but you sat at the table. You didn't have to have your mask on. We didn't have kids. It was a normal human existence, just like it was pre-pandemic. It was glorious. Now, some people have been doing this all along. We haven't been able to because of my wife's and my health situation. But man, a small little morsel of normalcy. Oh, hush up, Siri. It was so fantastic. Life slowly returns to normal, and that's a good thing. You guys in Tyler, Texas, thanks for having me this week. The rest of you, all of you, have a great weekend, and I'll see you Monday.